Our Old Testament scripture today is from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 11 and verse 16. Now when the king was settled in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, the king said to the prophet Nathan, "See now, I am living in a house of cedar, but the ark of God stays in a tent." Nathan said to the king, "Go. Do all that you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. "Go and tell my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up this people of Israel from Egypt to this day. But I have been moving about in a tent and a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about among all the people of Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the tribal leaders of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd the people in Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep to be a prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may live in their own place, and be disturbed no more, and evildoers will afflict them no more, as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me."
The gospel reading today is Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
When I was young, my mother used to tell me a story about a rabbi who had a dream. In the dream, he got to see where the selfish and the givers end up. First, he saw where the selfish people were taken. He couldn't believe his eyes. It was a big, beautiful banquet hall where the tables were lavishly decorated and the food was piled high. Upon closer inspection, he noticed no one was eating. He wondered why until he realized that a 3-foot-long spoon was strapped to each of their arms. Without the ability to bend their elbows, they could not eat. So each one sat hungry, in a table filled with food. The rabbi was then led out of this room to the place where givers go. He couldn't understand what he was seeing. It was also a beautiful banquet hall where the tables were lavishly decorated and the food was piled high. Just as in the other hall, a 3-foot-long spoon was strapped to each person's arm. But there was a difference. Here, the people looked happy. He saw that in this room, each arm stretched out to reach the mouth of another. Here, no one went hungry because everyone could eat. My mother told me, givers get used to giving, but selfish people only understand taking, no matter where they live or how much they have. She said, learning this lesson would serve me well in my service to God. I grew up in Nazareth, where the houses are built on a steep hill, the steep sides of a hill. The location allows them to receive morning sunlight. The soil is good and the rainfall is generous, so we are never without food. The weather is usually kind because of the hill's protection. However, with only one spring of water for the entire village, we're not able to grow very much. This suited me fine. Growing up, I felt safe and secure. My husband, Joseph, is also from Nazareth. He does not talk much, but his mind is always working. He is conscientious, faithful, and gentle. Joseph works as a carpenter. He is a thinker, and I am a planner, so it is a good match. And in case you're wondering, Joseph is also a giver. I know this because in the 6th month of our betrothal, something happened that changed our lives. Joseph was with me every step of the way. It was spring, a time when most of the rains had passed and the ground was green. It had been a busy day, and I was hunting for some privacy in the cooler evening air. I thought I heard the rumble of thunder, but the sky was clear. I was preoccupied looking for clouds when a voice broke the silence. "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I turned around to see who called me. No one was there, but I noticed that the light around me seemed to be going brighter. The sun had already set, so it should have been getting darker. I was confused. I closed my eyes and stumbled back a step. The voice came again. "Don't be afraid, Mary." I opened my eyes. No one was there, but the light seemed even brighter. I took a small step forward, looking into the light in front of me. Slowly, the light shifted, and a figure began to form, growing in size as if walking toward me from a distance. When the figure reached me, I felt dwarfed by its presence. When I finally gained enough courage to look up, I found an attentive face looking at me. In the same voice I had heard before, the figure said, "Mary." Then, unbelievably, an even stranger thing happened. From some place deep inside, I understood that this illuminated figure was an angel. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." And I suddenly realized that I no longer was. The angel told me I had found favor with God. I had been chosen to conceive and bear a son. The angel said, "You shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." I could feel my face growing warm and the blood pounding in my ears, but I did my best not to let the chaotic feelings rolling inside me sway me from my spot. "I don't think this is possible. I'm a virgin. I am engaged, but I'm not yet married." The angel said, "Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child to be born will be called Holy, for he will be the Son of God. Go and visit your kinswoman, Elizabeth. She is old and has been called barren, yet she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. See for yourself that nothing is impossible with God." I bowed my head, searching for how to respond, and that's when it happened. The revelation. In that moment, I discovered I am also a giver. I whispered, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel was gone. Only a cloud blowing over the plains. I've been on a road of revelation ever since. I have discovered things about myself I never knew. I remain watchful for what is yet to be revealed. What about you?
These weeks of Advent and Christmas, we are spending time together discerning the word in a more expansive form than perhaps we do in typical Sundays. And this week, we'll be spending time together as our sharing time on this story that of Mary that Jackie so beautifully brought to us as a monologue. So being today, a question. I wonder about a time when you or perhaps someone you know was asked to do something that scared you. Perhaps it was something that pushed you out of a community or caused tension in friendship or family. Maybe it was costly in other ways, financially or for your reputation. When was a time you felt afraid of what was ahead? But what mattered even more was a sense that God's grace was with you. Do not be afraid. When Mary hears these words from the angel, there are a couple different ways we could hear what's happening. One is a form of false comfort. Everything will be fine. I'm sure this will work out. Even though we know that this isn't always true, the person we prayed for dies of cancer. We are served the eviction notice. The deportation order is carried out. Everything about this, do not be afraid, hinges on the why. Why not be afraid? Because Mary is given grace. She's filled with God's covenant love. It has found its way to her. Do not be afraid because you are a recipient of God's redeeming love, a grace that comes without earning and without reason to those who've been pushed aside and trampled underfoot. I don't think that Mary expected this unplanned pregnancy that ends in a birth in a hotel parking lot to be a walk in the park. But I do know that she believed God was with her and God was in it with her from beginning to end. And so, friends, I wonder, when was there a time when you felt a call or an urging to do something that made you afraid? and felt like it would mean significant loss along the way. How did you hear the voice of God speaking to you? Do not be afraid. If you would like to share a story from your own life and experience that you've had about this, I welcome you to share it now. You can do it. You feel more comfortable raising your hand and being called on. That's great. If you'd prefer to, just jump in, you're welcome to do that too. But where have you felt God's grace in times of fear?
Tell you a short story. When I was in Malawi, I was driving, and they drive on the wrong side of the road, so I was always afraid, trying to figure out where I was going, and I got lost and drove into a mob situation, and my car was surrounded, and people were saying, "Get out, why are you here?" through the windows. But there was no way for me to back out because there was a crowd. And this is a situation where my fear would have exploded. And I honestly don't remember praying, "Don't be afraid, God is with you." But I didn't feel afraid, which was a miracle in itself. And this young man came up to my window and looked in and said, "Follow me." And he led the way. He walked backwards and parted the crowd and helped me turn around. And then going straight, he walked in front of the car and the crowd divided and I got out. And it was such an encouragement to know that it's possible to not be afraid.
Thanks, Janet. About others.
Hey, this is Stephen. I can tell you just here recently, I had no idea how I was going to get the surgery on my arm done. And thanks to everybody here at the church coming together and helping me out, I've been able to get a much needed surgery done. I mean, I felt like my arm was going to fall off and I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how I was going to fix it. I had no idea. And everybody came together. And everybody's been awesome and still coming together. And for me, that has been an absolute godsend. And I'm thankful for everybody for that. And I love all you guys. But I just wanted to share that because it's just so recent. And it's really awesome. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a time that I was in the occupied territories and was alone driving, and I was stopped by a tank in front of me, an Israeli tank, and it was getting dark, and I'm sure they assumed I was a Palestinian. And so I was afraid to get out to tell them who I was, and they were not willing to come close to the vehicle. And I was very afraid that day, because if something had happened to me there, nobody in the world would even know. Just a miracle that four of them came with their guns pointing, and I was able to show them my passport. And Yeah, it took about 45 minutes of waiting, and that was, I think, the time I was most afraid. But now I look back and think, yeah, I mean, God was there.
I think that, you know, Mary is such a, this is such a big example. Oh, you're going to have this baby who's the Messiah. That sometimes it's hard to maybe translate that into our own, just some of these other experiences that we've had. But I see this reflected back in so many people in our congregation who have left jobs and have moved to faraway places, who have taken up the call to ministry, who have radically changed their lives because they felt like God was calling them to that. And that somehow, for some reason, that decision, the confidence that God was with them in that was enough. I don't want to put Debbie on the spot, but I do just want to say that I thought a lot about this journey with Debbie and Emmy towards AMBS and all of the places along the way that were just fraught with opportunities for fear and the unknown, and then just continuing to hear the confidence of God's call alongside especially Debbie in that, and really grateful to be a witness to that.